In this episode, we're taking a look at the ancient pagan Sabbat, Beltane. We're looking at the importance of fire. We are looking at a lot of different traditions from around the world. We're looking at how fae play an interesting role in this Sabbat. And we're also talking about some of the misunderstood and misrepresented symbolism of this Sabbat, including the maypole.
Let's talk about what intuition really is.
Let's look at all the places intuition and ego show up in your life.
Let's share honestly.
Let's do the research.
I'm Jamie Hayhurst.
I'm Heather Wood.
This is the Intuitive Girls Guide.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Let's talk about Beltane.
Okay.
I think this is one of my favorite Sabbats.
I know, you love it.
I also think I might say that every Sabbat.
Well, they're all pretty great.
Yeah. This one is one of my favorites because I feel like it's this thing that everybody feels right around this time of year.
Yep.
But no one really can put their finger on what it is and why. And why do I feel like this lightness and need to celebrate now? And like,
true.
What's going on? Like, why do I want to go outside and light a fire or grill food? Like,
right. I'm also just now starting to see on social media people acknowledging that this is like the other side of the year of the wheel, right?
Yep.
Of Halloween.
Yeah.
And Samhain. Like,
yes. Those were the two big ones.
Right. And people are now just starting to say, like, oh, the veil is really thin in the spring, but most people only say that on Halloween.
Well, that's a really good point because all of the things that you love about Halloween, you do love about this time of year too.
Right.
Because they're all here just like in different form.
And you're just swinging around.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that Beltane is one of those times of year that everyone's feeling these things. They just don't really know how to articulate or understand what they're feeling.
I think it also really tracks that I love Halloween.
And you love Beltane.
Yes, perfect.
It's like
balance.
Have you seen those TikToks where they're like, there's always one friend in the friend group, there's always one friend like this. Like I saw one that's like, there's always one fairy witch and vampire witch. And I was like, yep.
Exactly.
But it's the same thing. There's always one Beltane witch and one Samhain witch.
Exactly.
So there you go. Let us know. Do you have that in your friendship groups or sisters? Like, do you have that?
Yeah, sisters.
I would like to know that. All right. Well, I pronounce it Beltane. There are other pronunciations. Mm-hmm. You have to remember different parts of the world, different ways we're saying things.
Right.
They all mean the same thing.
Right.
It is approximately May 1st. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder. We say it every time.
Right.
Our ancestors didn't go by their Gregorian calendar.
No.
They went by astrology and what the sun was doing and the moon and the planets and the seasons. So I remember as a kid, my great-grandfather, who was born in England.
Yep.
So there have a lot of like this Celtic witch stuff still in the family, right?
Yeah.
He was a farmer and he celebrated Beltane on the first full moon at this time of year. So right after the beginning of May, the first full moon, and that's where he would plant everything.
Perfect.
So I remember that acknowledgement. Now he wasn't like doing Beltane rituals, which we'll talk about.
Right.
But that kind of is a ritual.
I was going to say it pretty much is.
So I still do that. I still wait. Mm-hmm. It's coming up. Yep. Almost there. Right after May 1st, where's the first full moon? That's where I'm going to start planting stuff.
Love it.
It's really effective and you can really feel connected to your ancestry and your pagan roots just by doing that.
Yeah. And the planet. I mean, that's what people have been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, like you said before, with Samhain sort of being the opposite Sabbat and like this and Beltane being across from it. Our ancestors, think of it this way, they really only recognized two seasons.
Right.
So it was the season that kicked off with Beltane and it was the season that kicked off with Samhain.
Exactly.
So we are now kicking off the spring season officially.
New season.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So they're not certain where the name exactly comes from.
Okay.
I feel like I say that on every single one too.
Right. Well. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I have my own theory.
Okay.
Based on research, not just what I came up with. But I want to tell you a few of the things that people think it could come from. Mm-hmm. And then you can form your own.
Okay.
So the Irish death god is named Beltane, Beltane.
Okay.
The Welsh god is Beli, Beli. Celtic fire god is Belenos.
Okay.
Phoenician vegetarian god is Baal, Baal.
Okay.
I think, though, it comes from the term balefire.
Okay.
So balefire was also pronounced Belfire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest part of this Sabbat is this fire.
Yep.
The balefire that right. you light fire. At Beltane.
Right. I agree.
So form your own, you know, whatever. Maybe, like, if you grew up with, like, a real Welsh influence in your life, you're like, no, it's the god Beli or Beli, right. however you say that. Like, right. that's fine. I don't yeah. think it matters. It's probably honoring all of them, to be honest with yeah. you.
I think they're all sort of like different variations of the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So the Baal fires were traditionally, and still are in many places, lit on what was considered May Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember that, like, we're calling it May Eve, but they were not calling it May Eve.
May wasn't a thing.
No, they were right. calling it the Eve of Beltane, most right. likely. Okay, right. in whatever language they were saying it.
Right.
I would just like to tell you that the British royal family still does this.
Really?
Yes.
Of course they do. They're astrologers. Oh.
I thought you would like that.
I mean, good for them. We should all be doing it. But, like, also stop colonizing everything.
Well, yes.
You're colonizing this thing that you're has been hidden and destroyed.
Right.
Right.
And your ancestors were killing people for doing
for it. Doing this, and you're now still doing
it. But you've been doing it all along, and you're still doing it because it's very effective.
Exactly.
It gets me a little clenchy, to be honest. Yeah, but
agreed.
It's okay.
Agreed.
Okay. So when you think of Beltane, the month of May, what like energy comes to mind? What are you thinking of?
Well, for me, it's like spring, renewal.
Yes.
Like you said, fires, yes. sun.
Yes. So our ancestors would have said the same thing, mm-hmm. but with the word fertility.
Yes, right.
Everything, like what you're saying, right. like renew, like all of that, they're thinking fertility.
Right, like a maple, like that's a fertility.
That's a penis.
It is.
We're going to get to that.
It is.
It's a penis.
I mean, my kids, their elementary school, like that's one of the big...
Yeah.
like concerts is the yeah. Mayfest concert, and they do the maypole, like they dance yeah. around the maypole,
yeah, which is great.
It is great.
But, you know, we're going to get to the maypole, so we'll talk more about it, but right. we hear it and we're like, oh, these are all sexual symbols, like, and kids are doing this. But it's
no,
like,
no, it's not like that.
You're looking at fertility and abundance from a very kind of colonized patriarchal look at,
like,
what it is,
overly sexualized.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, no.
Yeah.
But basically, when I think of Beltane, I do think of sex.
Yeah.
But, no, again, not just, like, sexy people time.
Correct.
But, like, the animals are reproducing.
Right.
You know, like, if you have, like, animals that you rely on for food.
Well, because we're just coming out of, up here in the Northern Hemisphere, yeah. we're just coming out of winter.
Right.
Right? So, like, there was scarcity. It was dark. Like, you were healing. You were
yes.
you were hunkering down. Now it's time for, like...
Yes.
reproduction,
yes.
eggs to hatch, like that's,
yes.
that's
like,
the whole thing.
We're thinking of getting baby chickens again because this is the
oh,
time
yeah.
of year to get the baby chickens.
Mm-hmm.
That okay
right.
But listen, most all of the symbolism is sexual
yeah.
here. But again, this is where people start to be like, witches are doing weird sex
rituals,
cult rituals
right.
and
right
no never
right.
No. Do I think all of the pagan ceremonies were, like, real innocent? No. We've
right.
talked about some that were
mm-hmm.
fucking weird.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
like, remember the one where you would hit people with meat?
Yes.
Like, like, there's
right.
so many
right.
that are very strange, but also just they don't read right
currently.
In current times.
Right.
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 Okay. So the fire was a big deal,
mm-hmm.
and there were all kinds of things thrown into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So aromatic things like holly sprigs.
Right.
Now, if you listen to our Yule episode,
mm-hmm.
you know that the Holly King is a big deal.
Yep.
So that was representing the Holly King,
mm-hmm.
because listen, it's not like here where, like, Santa is only a big deal at Christmas.
Right.
Like,
right.
These kings and queens and gods and goddesses.
Right, all year.
we're all year.
Right.
We're always there. But they had, like, these were the things that, like, we mainly celebrated them for.
Right.
This is kind of where people get the idea of Jesus. Like, well, he was born here and he supposedly died here. We moved the date to fit the pagan calendar.
Right,
but
exactly.
Still, like, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, it's kind of coming from this. Like, well, this is their big show.
Right. And it also makes sense that you would burn things because, like, holly is going to smell good.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to keep bugs away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our ancestors weren't dummies.
Right.
They knew what they were doing. It wasn't just like this weird, like,
randomly, let's do this for holly and cast
right.
a spell.
Right.
You're thinking of it wrong. Yeah, I mean,
right.
they were casting a spell with it.
Yeah.
But they're also coming out of the season of, so back at Samhain, they were putting holly branches on their mantles. They were doing,
right.
now they're going to put flowers on their mantles.
Right.
So they're going to take down the holly.
You take the mantle down.
And
you
they're
going to
burn it.
Burn it right.
To, like,
exactly.
end that season symbolically.
Yep.
Now, you're probably not going to burn the plastic one you bought at Michael's.
Please don't do that. It's
no,
bad for you.
Right. So you're not thinking of that, but you probably are going to go out in your yard, if you
mm-hmm.
have one, and gather all the stuff and probably burn, like, the sticks and the brush
oh,
and
right,
all of
yeah.
that. And that's doing that same thing.
Exactly.
So if you have this urge to clean up your yard and
mm-hmm.
burn.
That's why.
This is why.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So in Sweden, the fires were lit by two people striking two flints together.
Okay.
Does that sound a little symbolic at all
mm-hmm.
to you?
Yes.
That was on purpose.
Yes.
In Norway,
mm-hmm.
old brooms were burned, and the new ones that were made during the winter were brought out and dedicated to their new purpose.
I love that.
I love that so much.
I really like that one.
I mean, I'm not going to make my own broom, let's be honest.
No.
But I would buy one from someone who made it. And, like, burn my old one and symbolically put that little one that I bought from someone on my mantle or something.
Right.
Just find what works for you.
Right.
Yeah.
But imagine life as a pagan. Like, no
yeah.
no TV.
Right.
No cell phones.
Right.
Like, that's what you're doing when you're hunkering down for the winters. You're
yes.
you're making things to keep yourself busy and occupied.
And don't forget, they weren't just sweeping the dirt.
Right.
This is how they were clearing energy as
right.
well. This is all symbolism.
Exactly.
There is a Slavic tradition of wreaths being thrown into the fire specifically for healing.
Perfect.
So think of that symbolism because remember, wreaths represent the wheel of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just used to, they still do.
Yes.
They can't just change it. That's what they're doing. Okay.
No, that's why you like a wreath. That's why you always have a wreath on your front door.
I love a wreath.
Yeah.
Sometimes I suddenly have to make a bunch of them.
I know.
And I'm not even that good at it. I just need to.
Right.
When you have those things,
mm-hmm.
there's a reason for that.
Right.
So they would throw that in for healing. And I love the symbolism of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this was the wreath from last year. This is the wreath of the new year.
Right. We're letting that go.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Many cultures invited their ancestors to sit by the fire with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what you were referring to before.
Right.
When you were saying, like, this is very similar to Samhain. Like,
mm-hmm.
Samhain was like, okay, let's invite the ancestors in and let's celebrate them. It was never spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Beltane was equally as into the spirits.
Right.
But we don't talk about that now.
No.
I don't know why, because I think the big religious figure rises from the dead at this time. So you'd think that would be the spooky zombie time.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't make the rules clearly.
Well, we only talk about it in that reference, like that resurrection. You don't talk about it like as spirit.
Yes.
Even that, like in the Christian religion, we're not talking of like you're, it's told to you like it's literal.
Right.
Like it's a literal human being.
Right.
That died and then was
yes.
resurrected. We're not
right.
like, you can't even in that frame talk about like spirit or anything like that.
Very true. Very
you know?
True. It's, and I mean, I've gone on this tangent a million times, so I'll spare everybody, but like they weren't like channeling ghosts and like being spooky.
No.
They were just calling in their ancestors and honoring them and
mm-hmm.
celebrating them and like communicating with them because
right.
that was normal.
Mm-hmm.
That was very normalized.
Mm-hmm.
I get bitter about it because when you grow up as someone who that's really easy for you to do.
Right.
Like you're just born a person that like communicating with spirits and ancestors is
right.
just easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you grow up in a culture that tells you that there's something wrong with you or it's evil or it's supposed to look
mm-hmm.
scary like on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You get to be a little bit of a bitter Betty about it
yeah.
when you're like, why are we still misrepresenting this so much?
Right. And some cultures have done a better job at holding that like Day of the Dead, and if like yes. that's something which would be like considered, most people that honor that are in a religion,
right,
but they still respect the altar of their ancestors, like mm-hmm. feeding the ancestors. There are some communities that have held on to that.
Yes, thank goodness.
Right, but this like overly colonized white people, us, like our cultures have yeah. had to let that go.
Yeah. And it's only hurting us. It's only hurting everybody. Yeah,
no, it's time to yeah. take it back.
Yes, exactly. In Scotland, fires were lit from what was known as the Need Fire. Mm-hmm. The Need Fire was created by friction from a wheel.
Okay.
I love that yeah. very much. But the Need Fire was meant only for cooking.
Okay.
And it was like the ritual that no other fires be lit.
Okay.
So in a lot of places, not just Scotland, mm-hmm. in a lot of places, this was a new fire being lit.
Okay.
Okay. So in some places like Scotland, the fire was going out on May Eve and mm-hmm. a new one was being lit on Beltane.
Gotcha.
Okay. So this is a brand new fire to symbolize a brand new season.
Start, right.
We're not bringing the old stuff from the old fire into the new season.
Fresh start.
Symbolism that I feel like we could currently use.
Agreed.
But let's not bring all that stuff with us. Let's take that fire down and light it again.
Yeah, exactly. Start fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in Scotland, you could keep a fire only for cooking. It couldn't be used for anything else. And they call that the Need Fire.
Okay.
Okay. There was a tradition to take home a piece of the smoldering fire mm-hmm. that was like lit to light your own. So you have to imagine, if you don't know what a bale fire is, it's mm-hmm. basically a bonfire.
Exactly.
So it's a big, huge fire. Right. Yes. So there would be one lit in like your village. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of tradition where you would take a smoldering piece from that fire and light your own fire. And again, the symbolism of that with community, with we're all taking from this one thing.
Right.
What that does, even if you're not really thinking too much about it, but the energy of that yeah. in like a community is very powerful.
Yeah, because you're all then in your individual homes.
Yeah.
Using that same fire.
Yes. I still see people do in like different, you know, pagan circles, like witches circles and things like that. I see people doing like, here's one candle, everyone light a candle from that.
Well, that even happens in Christian communities. Like on Christmas Eve, they'll do that.
Well, because we know they're not original.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, but that, you light all the candles from one.
Yeah. So right. that symbolism, you can do that too, mm-hmm. is my point too. Mm-hmm. Like that symbolism is very important and still
right.
in our culture now.
Right.
Okay. Oh, the other part of that fire that you're taking home, like, so you go, you get a piece of the fire. There's tradition that you can't give any of your piece away.
Okay.
So you can't, like, if I take a piece from the fire and you're walking to the fire and you're like, oh my God, I don't feel like schlepping all the way.
Right.
Can I take a piece of yours?
No, you have to go get it.
No. Get right. your own piece of fire. It was just because then you wouldn't have taken the fire from
someone else. Right.
And that would have given you bad luck.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Okay. They also believed, for the same reason, mm-hmm. that you can't give this away because the fae could be tricking you.
Oh, really?
So there is a belief that fairies cannot make their own fire. They okay. have to get it from a human.
Okay.
All right. This is an old pagan belief.
Yes.
But fairies are tricky. So mm-hmm. there was this fear that fae would disguise themselves as somebody and say, can I have some of your fire? And then you have to gift it to them. So you're gifting it to them.
And you're giving them your energy.
Your fire. And now you've entered, we know if you've listened to our fae episode.
People love that episode, by the way. I'm just going to say.
It's a good one.
We get so listened, much feedback every go. Time we play it.
I know. Go listen to it if yeah. you haven't. But that now you've entered into a contract with a fae. And now they have power over you. And that's bad news bears.
This is very like Rumpelstiltskin energy.
It is. But also they're not just like murdering you.
No.
But of all of a sudden, like, your crops don't do as well. Yeah. Or what I can think of in the modern day is, mm-hmm. like, shit starts to go missing in your house all over the place. Mm-hmm. My first question to people when they tell me that, I remember saying this to your daughter, I'm like, what contract did you enter? What did you invite a fae to do that
exactly.
you shouldn't have? Like, yep. where were you not holding your boundaries as good as you should have, right?
Your energetic boundaries, exactly.
Yeah, so like that, I mean, I mm-hmm. form the question different to different
yes.
people.
Right. right.
But that still, I think, is a thing that happens. But, like, mm-hmm. that's how aware of that our ancestors were and how much yeah. importance they placed on it. That it was, like, in Beltane tradition
right.
that you have to go get your own piece of fire and you cannot gift it.
Yeah, there are, like, rules about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous
yeah.
to not have boundaries.
No, keep your own shit. People can get their own.
Get your own fire. I'll walk with you.
Part of the community, right? Like,
yeah.
we want you to have the community fire. But, like, you can go get your own. I'll have mine. We're good.
Well, you know, it reminds me of the energy of when, this is just a very weird side note tangent, mm-hmm. but we're all used to that.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to the podcast. It reminds me of when, this grinds my gears every time, there's a bunch of celebrities doing, like, a telethon or whatever, a pledge-a-thon.
Yeah.
Trying to ask us peasants to pledge our money. And I'm yeah. like, you're millionaires. Yeah,
let me see your bank account.
How much are you being paid to be here? Just donate that and we'll fix it.
Exactly.
All of you give some of your money. It drives me crazy. It's yep. sort of that, like, no, you go the rest of the way. I'll help you get there. Are you having trouble getting to the fire? Let me help you there.
Well, it's like passing the buck. Like, if we are a part of a community,
yeah,
then we all need to do our share.
Yeah. If someone can't get to the fire, you help them to the fire.
Exactly.
To get their thing. Yeah. All right. Weird side note, but I just really hate that. It's never made sense to
Agreed.
Me. I don't know if this is an autism thing or what, but it's like, what? I just remember watching those being like, you're rich.
I've had the thought watching things like that. Like, if I was that celebrity, I'd be so embarrassed. I'd be waiting for you to call me out.
And be like, what are
I'd
you
be
doing?
Waiting for someone to be like, Jamie, yeah. you have
Yeah.
$20 million.
Right.
Like, why are we?
We don't even have health care. Why are you asking us to donate money? Like, ask another country or something. We're poor. Okay.
Don't get me started on health care, okay. man.
I mean, I would like to get you started on health care, but I'm not going to. All right.
Fix it.
I think we need to gather ourselves.
Okay.
After
We're
getting
go
upset.
Call Bernie Sanders and fix
okay.
this shit.
So we'll go do that and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back after this short break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, it's Jamie with a little shameless self-promotion. We've had a lot of people reaching out asking about distal Reiki, so I wanted to let you all know that yes, you can book a session with me. If you'd like some distance Reiki, get in touch with me and we will set it up for you.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy
Woo!
And sadness
oh.
and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose.
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You know what goes great with podcast listening?
A great cup of coffee from a great coffee shop.
Yep, beans roasted in-house, amazing baristas. You know where I'm talking about.
Restoration Coffee. Can we go?
Yes, I need an Americano and maybe a panini too.
Ooh, I need blueberry maple latte and probably a resto bowl.
Ooh, yeah. Check them out and visit restoration-coffee.com.
Let's talk about what we're obsessed with this week. I had an obsessed segment,
okay.
but I'm switching it.
Oh, you it's may- like a la- I don't know what either of them are, so I'm
no.
I'm in the dark.
No, but you said something. I don't know what when we were in this last segment.
Oh,
that made me think that I want you to share with the class. I still haven't heard this myself.
Oh,
I know it's really like really putting you on the spot. I want to hear about Stonehenge.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Did you? Because yeah. I didn't have that until that thought until like literally. 13 minutes ago.
So I was like, she's probably going to ask me that. So I should organize a story in my head. But she might not ask me that because I haven't actually got to tell her it yet.
So intuitive she is. But well, you already knew it before I knew it.
I think we just know each other very well.
You said something about pagan something fires. Yeah. And I was like, Stonehenge. I haven't heard about it yet.
I went to Stonehenge.
How was it?
It was amazing.
It was like everything that the people say.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is that people are very mixed about the reviews of it. Some people are like, that's nothing. How boring. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to call.
They don't get it.
I don't want to call anyone out, but I saw some comments on maybe some like Facebook posts of yours. Oh, yeah. Or.
I'm not on Facebook.
Or Matt's. Maybe Matt's. Yeah. And someone was like, most boring thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
But it had the energy of like how I talk about Plymouth Rock. Which is different because that's like a colonization.
Right.
That's like a different vibe. But like,
right. But this also when wasn't you live someone near from someone, the area.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
It's like, but why would you yuck someone's yum like that? Like if someone's posting.
Yuck someone's yum. What? What?
Don't yuck my yum. You've never heard that? All right. Someone out there has.
You have never said that before.
No, because I say it to my kids. I'm like, don't yuck my yum. They learned it in school. You don't yuck someone's yum, even if you don't like it.
Okay.
Now we're obsessed with this.
Okay.
We've deviated.
I'm obsessed with that saying. I'm sorry. Okay.
If you don't like something, that's okay, because someone else does. That's their yum.
Yeah. And
you know what I mean?
There's a lot of people who do that, but it's just like they have to rain on other people's parades. Instead of being like, how cool you got to go there. What did you think?
Right.
Even if you didn't care for it.
Right.
You don't have to tell me that you didn't like it.
Right. And even if you are just seeing Stonehenge as like a bunch of rocks, then yes, that's boring probably.
Yeah. Yes.
But if you start thinking about like, how did people from that time move those rocks? How did they?
Yes.
How did they get that way? Why are they lined up with stars? Like,
and they still don't. They still don't know how. I did the tours.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I love about our listeners is they saw me post in stories, like the pictures.
Yeah.
And in one of them, I have headphones on.
Yeah.
And they were messaging me and commenting, like, I bet you're listening to a tour. Because I'm the only one with headphones on. Like, my whole family is there. That's how much our listeners know
you.
That I love a tour.
Exactly.
I live for a tour.
Right. I know you do.
Yeah. So I was like,
absorbing
my own personal tour in my head.
Tell
like in my
me
ears.
All the facts. Tell me the data.
I went around. Well, we went around once. Like, I just, like, experienced it. And mm-hmm. then we went around, like, two more times.
Right.
So that I could listen to the tour twice. So I could, like, really absorb all the facts. And by the third
time
around.
The kids were like, wrap
they were
it
like,
up.
Mom.
Get on the tour bus.
And I was like, listen, I took you to Disney World. This is my Disney World. I will go around as many times as
that's
I
that's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was amazing.
You loved it.
I loved it. You can feel the energy of it before you get there. Like, you can start to feel it. Something that's weird, that I found weird, mm-hmm. is that it's right by the road.
Okay.
Like, there's a highway, and it's like, from, I'm driving on the highway.
Yep.
It's from me to the wall.
That's like what, the pyramids are.
Yeah, they're like right there.
They're like right on the city.
Yeah. It's like, Buckingham Palace is just like right in the middle of London.
Wow.
I know. Sorry.
I gotta get there.
Okay. Anyways, so that was weird. But then mm-hmm. you drive up, it's a whole thing. We also took a bus there where they give you facts the whole way.
Love.
2-hour drive. I was in my glory.
Yeah, I bet you were.
I was just like, I wish I had a notepad. I did take notes in my phone.
I bet you did.
Okay. So they don't know how our ancestors moved these rocks, but they do know that they came from like miles and miles away. They weren't like around.
Right. They would just pick them up.
Yeah.
Right.
So they still don't know.
Okay.
They perfectly line up with all of the Sabbats. The equinoxes, they perfectly line up with.
Right.
And what you're seeing is just like the inner part. There was much more before.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. They're like, if you go into the museum part.
Yeah.
You can do like a interactive thing where like you can see the whole thing. Like you feel like you're standing in it.
That's cool.
I spent a lot of time in there. Okay. So we get there. First of all, the energy is strong, like really, really powerful. You can start mm-hmm. to feel it. There's also like wind whipping because it's like a big field.
Right.
The first thing I do is look, and Matt goes, look over there. There's a freaking bunny in the middle of it.
You texted me about that.
I did. Talk about symbolism.
Yeah. That's incredible.
though of course I get like emotional about that. I get emotional as we're pulling up. I'm weeping just looking at it. And Rob's sitting next to Riley, who has just gotten car sick, and he's like, cool. Like, this, I'm like,
Mom's crying about bunnies again.
I mean, I wasn't making noise, but there was just like a lot of, and I couldn't speak because I was like, but like, it, you could just feel something.
I love that.
But as you walked around it, and my kids commented on this too, I wasn't the only crazy person. You could feel different kinds of frequencies.
Okay.
So like, you could feel, yeah, you could feel it hitting your heart chakra. Then you would walk a little further and you could hear, like, feel it go up to your throat. Like, and so I was feeling it and I was like commenting with my kids, and Gavin especially, like, he was actually feeling it in different places than I was. So I think that really speaks to frequency.
Yes.
It's hitting you.
Different places.
You can almost hear a tone.
So do you think that that's from the placement of the rocks, or do you think that that's like, or do you think that that area is like a portally vibey place?
I think both, probably. Okay. I think you, so they don't know what it was used for.
Okay.
But upon
virgin sacrifices.
That's one of the things that people used to say.
That because makes me so mad.
They thought it was like the Druids, but it was before the Druids. It was the pagans. Mm-hmm. Okay. I happened to find a guy in the museum who knew a lot about it and had some conversations with him about it.
Of course.
My buddy.
Yeah.
And we talked about how it was clearly a place for ritual, but also for healing.
Yes.
Because I was like, how come I can feel frequency? And he was like, oh, well, they used to do healing rituals and healing ceremonies here. So, because when I was walking around, I had this urge to like choose things to heal.
Love.
And so he was like, yes, that's what we believe they did. He was like showing me like old text things about that. Very cool. He also then brought me to an area where he showed me like, here we were making like these triangle arrowheads, but look, over in Japan, they would have never known they were making them just the same. And I was like, bro, we're friends. Best friends. But so that's the kind of vibe there. So people are walking around. You can see a lot, like some people are very emotional.
Yeah.
Some people are just like, cool. Like, this is one of the wonders of the world. So I'm like here to see it. And like, that's fine.
Right. But if you're like a straight muggle, like a straight up muggle,
yeah,
you're not into frequencies. You're not open to feeling things like that. Like,
right.
That's going to read as super boring.
I mean, it just looks like historic.
Right.
But even the muggly muggles were asking a lot of questions and commenting with each other. Cause you know, I'm paying attention to what everyone's saying about like, how did they do this?
Right.
Because that rock's too heavy for anyone to lift. And how do they get it up that high? Like, so even if that's all you're doing, you're like, this is before the wheel was invented.
It was probably aliens.
I mean, that's what Matt says.
Did he?
Yeah. Matt's like, this is definitely aliens. I'm like, okay. But they've had people like, groups of people drag stones like the miles and to see how long it would take them, and it's like
forever.
Yeah, it's not possible to just drag them. So they did something. They had some way of doing it.
But it
is like the pyramids.
Yeah.
But I would say go see it. It's really awesome. I was texting you like, I'm sending you energy from the stones. Like, you can just feel the power of it, and you can just go like, there's definitely magic here. Like, people couldn't even stomp it out. Like, at one point, it was just a rest stop. Like, anyone could pull over and go there.
Oh, really?
People would just sit on it and eat their sandwiches. And people would, like, they had to stop that because people were taking pieces of the rocks.
Oh, no.
No.
But it's still magical.
But it hasn't stomped any of that out.
Exactly, right.
So, yeah.
I love that you got to go there.
Me too. Yay. Thanks for letting me go on a tangent about it.
I love it.
Okay, so back to Beltane. We were talking a little bit about the Fae and the fairies.
Yes.
This, aside from Midsummer, which is the richest in fairy lore of all of the Sabbats.
Right.
This one would be second, and like a pretty close second.
Okay.
Where I think with like Midsummer, there's a lot more of like warding them off.
Mm-hmm.
This one's a lot more of like paying homage, but like protecting yourself from them, like setting some boundaries.
Yep. So, holding the line. Yep.
Yes. So a lot of times around this time of year, children would wear daisy chains around their neck for protection. So if you're drawn to like a little daisy outfit in the spring, or like, that's not you being basic again. Don't start with me with this thing that we only say to women.
Right.
Men who are all wearing the same suit, picking fantasy football teams, being the same person. But women are basic. Stop.
Right. Wearing a sunflower dress in just the
witches.
Spring.
We're witches. Great. Livestock were fed dillweed.
Oh, dillweed.
To protect them from Fae.
Huh.
I know.
Interesting.
I thought so too. Hot coals were tossed into the fresh butter to protect it from the Fae.
Okay.
If it was too hot, they couldn't take it, apparently.
Okay.
Lots of ringing bells, mm-hmm. as you remember Always. From Yule, the same thing. Right. I mean, they're really everywhere.
Right.
But they had them on their altars. They were rung at sunrise in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. They were on the Morris dancers, who are the dancers that dance around the maypole. That's what they're called.
Yep.
They do a fertility dance around the maypole.
Right.
Again, we'll get to that. But they were on their shoes or around their ankles. And then wind chimes.
Yes.
People put their wind chimes out.
Right.
I love a wind chime.
I know you do.
That's why.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I do like the sound, but right. like, it's literally in your DNA.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like I'm hitting the microphone and the stuff around me a lot today.
We're into it. We're into it.
A lot of hand motions. Right. Sorry.
Well, we haven't recorded in a while.
Well, yeah, but they don't know that, Jamie.
Well, I mean, it's been a while, everybody.
It's been a few weeks.
It's been a couple weeks.
Okay. So, Chinese tradition. I think this is a super cool one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a Chinese tradition of men walking around the village, reminding everyone to put out their fires the night before Beltane.
Oh.
And then everyone would eat cold food that night.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be a night you'd have a salad.
Love.
Yeah. Cool. Because you're putting out the fire. So they didn't have like the stuff need fire cook. Like right. in Scotland. It was just like, let's prep stuff.
Right.
The fire goes out. We eat that and we eat cold food.
Yeah. And then that becomes the tradition.
Yeah.
Right.
I like that.
I love it.
Okay. There, so we mentioned this in a previous episode,
mm-hmm.
but I love it, so I'm gonna mention it again. Like we have episodes like that cover all of the Sabbats kind of together to show
general,
you like the wheel
right.
of the year in yeah. general. So I mentioned this here,
mm-hmm.
but I'm gonna say it again because I love it. But men would propose to women with flowers.
Yes.
So they would
yes.
climb in the Alps. They would climb up.
Mm-hmm.
There's this flower called Edelweiss. Yes, like the song from The Sound of Music.
Yes.
And they would climb up and they would get that flower. It only grew up there.
Yep.
So the man was like, I climbed all the way up the Alps. Otherwise, I couldn't have got this.
Right.
Will you marry me?
Love.
And again, they weren't saying marry.
Correct.
But you know what I mean.
Yep.
Will you be in a hand fasting ceremony and can we be
committed
to each other? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it wasn't even always forever. It was like, no, we don't want to.
Right. Which makes more sense.
It's not legally binding, so
right, there were no
you can leave
like
when
legal
you want
contracts,
to.
Right.
Yeah.
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 That, I think I said it in the other episode, but that reminds me of Tangled.
Oh, yeah.
When Mother Gothel goes and steals the
yeah
that special flower.
Yeah, to keep her young.
Yeah.
I just think you see that theme
the
a
symbolism
lot.
Of that.
Yeah. And I just don't think we can kill that. Like,
no.
Again, you're not basic if you want flowers.
No.
I love flowers.
Same.
I mean, you have your like capitalistic rants about certain flowers
being we did
people
talk
spending
about
too much money.
Yes,
I'm
right.
sure you have that around this time of year too, but
right. no, just don't, no, it's just like the Valentine's Day $75 dozen red roses thing that
yeah
is too much for me.
You don't care for that.
That's capitalism.
That's capitalism. You're yeah. not mad at the people buying it.
Uh-uh.
You're mad that it's been marked up like that for
correct.
A holiday.
They're ruined.
Yes.
Right.
Agreed. Agreed. Okay. The Great Rite, this is from Beltane,
mm-hmm.
it has to be, if not the most, top three, most misunderstood pagan tradition.
Okay.
Okay. Misunderstood, but also misrepresented.
Okay.
So the Great Rite is exactly what you're imagining it is.
Like R-I-T-E?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. But this is found in, like, literally every pagan culture I could find has a version of this
okay.
that is done at Beltane in their part of the world. So remember, we're talking Northern Hemisphere time. So Southern Hemisphere has the same
flip
thing,
it.
Just flipped.
Right.
Okay, the dates are different, but
mm-hmm.
it's the same stuff.
Yep.
So this symbolizes the sexual union between the god and the goddess.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a ritual performed with a man and a woman. A man places a knife in a chalice that the woman is holding.
Yes.
That's what they were doing. They weren't going into a cave and having sex.
Sex.
They were going like knife,
the knife
chalice.
Chalice
yes.
are symbolic.
Yes. It was a man and a woman to represent the parts. It had nothing to do with saying like two men can't have sex. Two women can't have sex. There were no rules like that.
No, it's Correct. Exactly.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah.
It's about bringing together. It's about balance. Everything is about balance
and energy.
Right.
And
so you're bringing together the male part, the female part.
Yes.
Together symbolically. Doesn't mean that men can't have sex with men or women can't have sex with women.
Exactly.
Or that there's other genders. It just means that that's part of that bringing together of things.
It wasn't excluding anyone.
Right.
Because it wasn't about that.
Exactly.
It was about reproduction.
Yes.
You also have to picture a time when women weren't only, controlled and valued for their ability to reproduce.
Right.
So you don't have that weighing on, oh, the woman's holding the goddamn chalice. I know, I get it.
Yes.
But back then, that women were...
It was a different lens.
They weren't treated that way. We Correct. Weren't controlled for our ability to
No.
birth.
No, and we were honored for that. That Yes. was something of honor.
Exactly. So,
but it wasn't all of it. It wasn't the only thing.
It wasn't the only thing. This was just honoring creation.
Correct.
This was not saying this is... the only way that, the gods allow sex. No.
Right.
There's so many stories of the gods having sex with each other and the goddesses having sex.
Right.
That was not a thing.
No.
This is the time of year where they're thinking of the planet with abundance and fertility and their livestock and
crops,
procreating.
Right.
And right. Not
like romantic love.
Yeah.
And love making. I don't like that word, but
Could tell by the face you made when you said it.
It's not that.
No.
But
we
hear it and we think about it through this frame of this sort of warped sexuality that we have.
Yeah.
So it feels weird. You have to kind of at least remove it for a little bit and then hopefully start to rewrite it for yourself.
Exactly. And the two people who would do this ceremony were not necessarily even people who were in a relationship.
Together, right?
No, it was just an honor that mm-hmm. you probably did a lot for the community over the winter, the tough part.
Right.
So you were honored for that by being asked to be a part of this ritual.
The ceremony.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't the virgin and the, whatever. Like mm-hmm. None of that was there.
Right.
We've added all that.
Correct.
The other thing that I still hear people criticize about this, even when I was, researching for this episode, I saw a ton of it. And it really, it gets me.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to be calm about it because it irritates me a lot because I feel like a broken record and right now I'm preaching to the choir where everyone understands this for the most part who's listening.
Okay.
Right? But so I'm getting mad at the wrong people. But I think that you will understand my rage of this misconception. A lot of criticism of this because patriarchal religion mostly mm-hmm. is saying, but the god is the goddess's son.
Oh, right. Yeah, we have talked about this.
So this is incest. This is all these stories that they create of the woman having sex with her son.
Yep.
Ugh. No.
Rant about it.
This is because people don't understand symbolism.
Well, and because we're taught to take things so literally.
Yeah, and they're also trying to villainize and make this bad and icky and gross.
Right.
And especially if there's a woman involved, they have to chop her down a little.
Yeah, any angle to make it
discredited. Okay, so here's the thing. Feminine energy and masculine energy. Mm-hmm. I know you get squidgy about this in a good way because it needs to be protected, but it is not about gender.
Correct.
It has nothing to do with gender. It has to do with energy.
Yeah.
Okay. So masculine energy and feminine energy. Feminine energy recycles.
Mm-hmm.
Masculine energy goes out, mm-hmm. dies, and recreates.
Right.
Okay. And I don't mean like a man just dies.
No.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
It ends and then it regenerates and starts again.
Yep.
Okay. Just think of every little part of how that anatomy works and mm-hmm. you can understand that. Okay.
Correct.
Again, it's not about gender. It's about energetically how these things happen for creation.
Right.
Creation's not the be all end all, everybody. But at this time, it was so important because it was the only way to survive was the creation of the crops, was the livestock giving birth. It was mm-hmm. the only way. So that's why it was being so celebrated.
Or to create more people to then
help
take care of
the
farm
and
we're overpopulated now, but then Yes. If you wanted to keep your family alive, you needed people to help on that farm.
It's the only way your legacy and energy kept going.
Right.
And also just to stay alive. Yes.
Correct.
Yes. Right. Absolutely. It was a miracle if kids made it past the age of three.
Right.
Like, this is what we're celebrating. Right. This is what we're talking about.
Right.
And so when we talk about the god and the goddess, it's the same goddess. Mm-hmm. She's not dying. She's going through. She's the maiden. Then she's the mother. Then she's the crone. She's going through. And she's never dying. She's just recycling herself.
Right.
It's like the apple on the tree. It falls on the ground and it goes in and the seed grows. And like, that's feminine energy.
Yes.
That's why the apple is connected to women. That's why the apple is like the villain in the story of Adam and Eve. Oh my God, so many tangents.
Exactly.
I just can't. But the god, the male energy, dies.
Yes.
And the female energy mourns until it is reborn.
Exactly.
So this symbolism is what they're talking about.
Yep.
It's not the same goddess, this one human, is having sex with a man and they have a baby and the old man dies and then the baby grows up old enough and she has sex with him. That is not what it is.
No.
Never was.
No.
It's energy. Correct. It's not humans.
Right.
That's what we were talking about. But this is where we're vilified.
Right.
With these like ideas that witches are in sex cults.
Exactly.
I have never been approached to be in a sex cult. And maybe that has more to do with like my appearance than the, but like, I've been around a lot of witches my whole life.
No.
That's just never come up.
Story.
Never come up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of empowering sexuality.
Yes.
But that's not a thing in this community.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's not here.
No.
I've been to all the places. I went to Stonehenge, you guys.
Exactly. I've been to Salem.
Yeah. Many times. Right. Many times. Okay. Like I said before, it marks the time to begin planting. Mm-hmm. So this is why we're celebrating this. It wasn't just like, ooh, yay.
Right.
It's almost summer. It's
right.
Like, plant shit, everybody.
Yes.
So let's celebrate that because that's what we were revolving around.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't help to think like if we really did grow our own food and maybe hunt your own food if you eat meat, mm-hmm. how much a better of a relationship we would have with food.
And with the earth.
And with the earth.
Yeah.
I mean, as someone who struggles with that relationship with food.
Right.
I just think, like, that must have been such a different time.
Yes.
Where, I mean, I'll take this struggle over not, like, starving to death, which is what they were struggling. I'm not trying to make it sound like, oh, it was so easy for them. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they just had a very different relationship to food.
Well, there's an appreciation.
Yeah.
If you have to sort of struggle to get it and catch it and take care of it and not let it spoil. Can you tell I've watched all seasons of Alone?
I was just going to say, can I reveal that Jamie actually watched Alone? You didn't watch Star Wars.
Not yet.
But we'll get her there. But you did watch Alone.
I did. I watched every single season.
Yeah. And so you even watch and you're... It, just watching that makes you feel a different relationship to food, don't you think?
Like, because you're watching people having to feed themselves.
Yeah.
And having no other choice.
Yeah.
I mean, they can tap out and go home. It's not like that dire. But, you know, it changes the respect that you have for the land and the animals.
Yeah.
And the, I don't know if our listeners have watched that show, but even...
You should. It's a show. It's not just about survival stuff. It's about, like, the psychological journey of being a human.
Yes. Yeah, so it's like...
So if you like that, you'll like the show.
It's like... It's a sort of a reality show, but not like cheesy and awful and terrible. It's like real reality.
Yeah.
And even like the most, you know, quote unquote masculine guys on there who are hunters and like would not.
Military men. Yeah.
You'll hear almost, and I tracked it because I was watching it.
You were watching it in a row. Yeah.
Almost every single person.
Yeah.
Was like. Thankful and grateful and actually spoke out loud their thanks for their food that they caught.
Yeah. Some and, you people know, would like the, weep over it.
And the one guy who made fun of it.
Yeah.
He fell and broke his leg. He did. And had to get like med flighted out. And I was like, this guy just was joking about how all the hippies were telling him to thank the food.
Yeah. And he just.
He fucking broke his ankle. Like,
no ritual. Bam. I just want the listeners to know the joy I'm getting from you talking about the show because this is one of those things we in my family call this like a Cobb salad moment, and that's a reference to Modern Family, which I know you don't watch
because
don't watch shows like that have any comedy in them. for unrelated reasons, but there's this whole thing where Claire is the wife and her husband, like, they keep trying to figure out why she's mad at him, and she's actually mad at him because she was telling him about this really great Cobb salad and he wasn't listening and was just like, whatever. She's like, no, you gotta try it. And then some guy tells him about it and he goes and tries it and writes about it and then tells her about it and she's pissed.
Yes.
And so I just feel like that happens a lot in marriages, right?
Yes.
But this is kind of a Cobb salad moment with none of the anger at you.
Yeah.
But like, I have been trying to get you to watch this show and then your husband's like, why don't you try the Cobb salad?
We went to dinner.
Yeah.
With you and Matt and my husband Billy.
Yeah.
And the three of you were talking about it. And I was like, I'm not watching that.
I know. I could
so
see.
So stubborn. So resistant.
So resistant.
So resistant.
Yes.
But I had some time.
You did.
Yeah. I had some time where I was recouping from. Yeah. And so Billy was trying to keep me sane.
Yes.
And I had watched all of True Blood. This is a total, like, side tangent. Sorry, everybody. But,
no,
like,
we don't apologize.
I watched all of True Blood.
Yes, you did.
I read those books a million years ago. I'd like to say that. Those books are great. Yeah. But I was like, what do I do now? And Billy was like, why don't you try this? And I was like, fine.
There's also, like, a million seasons to watch.
That's the thing. So I think he knew that. He was trying to, like, gear me up for being occupied. So I was like, fine, I'll try it. And then I was like, did you guys see what happened on Chilco Lake? Did you see that shelter they built?
And I have been telling you, like, this is a show about human behavior. You'll like it. Like, I know.
Oh, my God. So good.
I mean, the two of us, if you were like, you guys are on the show, I think we would last. We'd probably do, like, a nice walk to see the land, as long as the terrain wasn't too tough.
Yeah.
And as long, like, one of my items would be a snack, because I'm not going to bother packing any of those stuff. I know I'm not staying very long, right?
Oh, I'm bringing, like, a gill net. I know I've got, I know everything.
You know your stuff. Okay.
But the thing is, I'm not going on that show.
Well, this is my point. We are not equipped. We cannot survive. We're dead. We're tapping out after our hike and our snacks run out. We're done. Because you and I aren't building a shelter.
No, but I do feel like I'm expert enough that, like, I should be a consultant.
I'll consult the person out there.
I'm going to give you a strategy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And like, what kind of shelter to build.
Okay.
How to approach the hunting. Alone, but I'm not doing it.
TV show alone. If you're looking for a consultant, Jamie is available.
Or if you want to sponsor us.
Yes. That too. I mean, my point is that we're both these people who are not equipped.
No.
We do not have what it takes.
No, we
will not make it very long. Even the two of us working together, it's basically two people with very similar skill sets. It's not a good idea.
It's over.
Okay, we're not doing well.
Right.
We get one hike in and we're tapping the button.
Yep.
But.
Hike.
Hike, walk. I'm doing the hike. Jamie's walking begrudgingly behind.
Exactly.
Because she doesn't want to.
She's trying to find a shelter.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, but while we watch the show, do we act as if we're unequipped? No, we act like the biggest judgy pants.
Yes.
I can't believe they're doing that. As if we have any idea. So you start out watching it and like the first few episodes, you're like just in awe of these humans.
Yep.
And then you become this judgy person.
No, I'm literally like, if you're not getting fish from that spot, then you need to walk down the river and try a different spot. I'm literally saying that out loud on my couch.
Yes.
Like, go somewhere else, Bobby.
So there's one guy, do you remember? He like, this is a thing that happens when you're starving, but he like had all this food and he hoarded it and he didn't eat it. You remember his name?
Dave, he didn't eat it and they pulled him and he had 30 half fish fillets that he didn't eat.
I was screaming at him before they pulled him. I was telling him.
I know. He didn't listen.
No, but what the hell do I know? I can't even, sometimes I forget stuff at the grocery store and I have a list. Anyways.
All right. Get back to Beltane, but watch alone if you haven't.
Yes. And they should sponsor us. Okay. So there were many rituals that farmers would do. Speaking of your rituals, the guy broke his leg.
Segue
back.
Yes.
That
he didn't
modern farmers still do.
Yes.
And they're pagan rituals.
Correct.
But they're not going to admit it.
No.
They're not going to tell you.
Correct.
Just the fact that a freaking
almanac, the farmer's almanac, yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. But you have to imagine our ancestors also with no modern farming techniques.
I think you should go back and say that again. Farmer's almanac part? Like, do people realize?
That it's predictions?
They're predictions about the weather, about the seasons.
Yes.
the people go in the store and buy them and like plan their, well, their crops around, but like plan their winters around. That's witchcraft.
This is my childhood. This is what I just want you to picture as this person who doesn't understand how anything works. Humans don't make sense to them. I don't get it. Everything to me seems different and energetic and magical, but everyone's pretending it's not, but it's bad. But then they're like, but let me just buy this almanac that predicts. And I'm like, what? What is happening? It's just over and over again.
And also cool.
Like, so cool.
Buy the almanac, but like,
I bought one every year and I'm not a farmer, Jamie.
Right, but then don't be like, oh.
Yeah.
Intuition. That's crazy talk. But let me consult my farmer's almanac to see like when to plant things.
I would read it cover to cover. And then when there was like a bunch of tornadoes and stuff, I'd be like, well, if you read the almanac, you would have seen why that was happening. Yeah. Yes. This gets me so spicy. God. No. But we're the weirdos.
Right. But that's what people are always sort of picking and choosing what of intuition or what of magic they want to buy into.
Yeah. Right.
And everything else is shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. It gets me mad. Okay. So picture our pagan ancestors without an almanac.
Correct.
Passing the information to each other. But they also don't have any modern techniques in this, in the sense of like, oh, it's super rainy this season, so we need to, we know that we need to make these adjustments. Like, this is not, there's no like tools to know that's coming. Is my point.
Correct.
Aside from intuition.
Right.
And aside from ritual. Mm-hmm. Now that we still have, now we have them. Yep. We have amazing ones.
Yep.
But we're still doing the rituals.
Exactly.
So.
They work.
They're very important.
Right.
You're going to fall in alone and break your leg and get med flighted.
Because you wanted to make fun of thanking the land.
Dumb.
Right.
You be nice to the land, dummies. Okay. So, one of my favorite, absolute favorite ones. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned it before. I'll mention it every time I'm given a chance.
Okay.
Is that women would ride besoms, which were brooms, same thing.
Yes.
Around the field for fertility.
Right.
And if you happen to be on your period, you were menstruating on Beltane.
Yep.
You were the frickin' belle of the ball.
Exactly.
Because all the farmers wanted you to ride through their field and bleed all over it.
Exactly.
On your broom. The broom, by the way, I've heard some wacky things of what people, witches, did with brooms.
Yes.
That what they think they did. None of that's right.
I know.
It was to clear energy. So they're clearing the energy of the land.
Sweeping.
And then our ancestors knew the value of that blood.
Because the blood is in the cycle of fertility, of creating a human.
Yes.
So the so then you want to create food. You call that energy in.
And think of all of the stuff that would be good for the earth that's probably in that blood.
Right. Yes.
Like, of course that makes sense.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, I don't get my period anymore. But back when I did, if I went up to a farmer and was like, hey, can I run around your field and bleed all over it on a broom? I would have been like arrested.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, people do that. Women put their menstrual blood on their plants.
Yes.
And it's like the craziest thing that people have heard.
Farmers will have like livestock that's bleeding walk around their fields. They will have, they will get women's period blood and put it in there. It still happens.
Right.
Just sneakily.
Exactly.
Another one is that the ashes from the Beltane fire, they were considered sacred, same as menstrual blood. And they were scattered on the land for the crops. They were also worn around people's necks. Women trying to get pregnant especially would. And when I say trying to get pregnant, they might not be actually like attempting it and struggling. They just might be like, my goal is to manifest a pregnancy.
Right.
Okay. One thing that I think is funny is like modern scientists are very proud of themselves. I love scientists. I'm just saying.
Too.
But we're a little slow on the going like, oh yes, now we've proven that it's real.
Right.
So I get a little spicy about that.
Little,
yeah. But modern scientists have now said that the rich nitrogen in the ashes actually does help crops grow.
Of course.
So listen, again, you always say this. They weren't just picking stuff willy-nilly.
No.
They knew that.
Right. They were observing everything that they did. They were observing for like hundreds and thousands of years. They were watching what worked and what didn't.
Exactly.
Just like they were watching this, literally watching the stars.
Yes.
So they knew when certain constellations were going to be mm-hmm. back around.
Exactly. Because
they were observing.
So when they're saying the sacred ashes from the Beltane fire right. helped the crops grow, they weren't going because of the nitrogen.
No.
But they also weren't going because of spooky magic. Because they like actually right. knew that would work.
Right.
And then when you combine that science with ritual, which is just, if you've ever tried to manifest anything, is right. what you're doing. That's a spell and a ritual. See our episode on spells. People love that episode.
They did.
Too.
They really did.
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Yep.
Get spicy. I'll reel it in. We have to talk about the maypole.
Mm-hmm.
So Morris dancers, that's what they were called. If you're dancing around the maypole, mm-hmm. most places call them a Morris dancer.
Okay.
So they would be holding ribbons, mm-hmm. usually made from the pole was usually made from the communal pine tree used at Yule.
Okay.
So you had you had the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
It was called the Yule tree.
Yep.
And then you took that and you used it for the maypole.
Mm-hmm.
Recycling. Love it.
Well, but then it's also all connected.
Think of the symbolism of that.
You're carrying the energy through.
From an evergreen tree.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay. So white ribbons were for the goddess and red are for the god. So you still see white and red ribbons. I also see all kinds of other colors. You do you.
Yeah.
But they used to use white and red.
Okay.
The maypole, like we said, is a phallic symbol. Mm-hmm. It is a penis. There are usually 8 dancers, one for each Sabbat.
Makes sense.
That's why there's 8. And this is not a closed practice, and this is not a practice where you have to follow it to a T.
Right.
So if you want to do some kind of maypole thing, mm-hmm. do it however you want. I would just say, like, have a reason for what you're doing.
Yes.
Have a reason for there being mm-hmm. 4 of you around it, or whatever you mm-hmm. decide, right? Like,
yep.
have a reason for the ribbons you choose.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's fine, baby.
I love it.
Dance around a pole.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it does make me think of how we shame sex workers who dance on a pole. But, like, this is okay.
That's a really good point.
Okay. I can see you, like, reeling yourself in, so I'll move on. But...
it's just because it's explicit. Like, this is, like, it's what our society likes. Is, like, everything has to be hidden.
Yes.
So, like, a maypole's okay because it's hidden. It's discreet. Because
you can
subtle.
Just say it's a pole. Yeah.
But, like, a woman earning money
right.
to take care of herself and her family
right.
is too explicit.
Right. Makes no sense.
No.
Okay. So Beltane also is heavily celebrating women and the goddess,
mm-hmm.
which is why it's not a modern holiday.
Right.
We don't like those in our culture.
No, we don't.
No. Okay. But I would like to point out the placement of Mother's Day in the
Good
month
point.
Of May.
Yes.
Because this is when we were celebrating women.
Excellent.
Not just mothers. We were celebrating
women,
everybody. But
right.
yes. Okay.
Yep.
Wreaths were often worn to celebrate. So the May King and May Queen were sometimes crowned. They weren't called that then, but I still see that. A lot of Southern traditions, it's like the May Court and the May King and Queen ride in a float.
And like and you can wear like the floral headpieces.
The wreaths, yes. The hair wreaths.
During the maypole.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
I do think that if you're going to wear a flower crown, especially if you make it out of real flowers, fake ones are fine too, by the way, that you should look at the symbolism of the flowers because they meant a lot to our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought I'd tell you some of them.
Okay.
So daffodils were communication of secrets.
Oh.
In case you were thinking this was a little too love and light for you to wear a hair wreath,
mm-hmm.
like a flower wreath. No.
No.
So you're basically a spy. So I'm going to wear daffodils because I've always wanted to be a spy. Daisies were simplicity. There's a flower called heather.
I'm aware, yes.
That was powerful women. So if you were a really powerful woman and you wanted to like really pull that in, you would wear heather flowers.
Perfect.
Boom.
Perfect.
Jasmine was for night rendezvous.
Oh, hey.
Iris meant frail but hardy.
Okay.
I think maybe that's lost in translation because I don't really understand that one, but I thought it was funny. Lily of the Valley is death and change. Still kind of used for that.
Yeah.
Magnolias were unfolding events. Mums were affection, which a lot of people give mums on Mother's Day. I know because it's like a mom.
Mom.
But it's like affection. That's
yeah.
what that's...
I love magnolia.
I know, me too. An orchid is promises kept.
Okay.
So, oh my God, if I saw someone in an orchid crown, I'd be like, what promise are you? Tell me more.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pansy, you probably don't want to wear because it's weakness, which I think is funny because we still call people a pansy, saying they're weak, right?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Roses, depending on the color. Red was for love and fidelity. Pink was for youth. Yellow was for infidelity. White was for silence.
Really?
I know. Imagine if you saw someone with a red and white rose.
Wow.
Harry, that'd be like, you've had some troubles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sunflowers were powerful, or power, strength, and watchfulness. Snowdrops were to represent children. Tulips, consistency. And the water lily was for otherworldliness and dreams.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think so too. So you would choose the flowers for their meaning. And mm-hmm. I think that probably in different places, like I'm naming flowers that are clearly like Eastern European and American growing flowers. Like right. these are like white culture symbols yeah. that I have. But I'm sure mm-hmm. wherever you were, there's other meanings.
There are flowers that mean things everywhere.
Exactly. Right? I'm just not qualified yeah. to say the other ones. So I'm sticking to these ones.
Gotcha.
But whatever culture you practice, it's very easy to find.
Yeah.
Like what would have been in that area and how people felt about
or
it.
Or those flowers might mean something different in your culture.
Exactly.
And that's cool too.
Exactly. Okay, May baskets, still a thing.
Yeah.
They were full of fresh flowers mm-hmm. back in the day. I know sometimes it's like food now. It's yeah. interesting, but...
Or even like Easter baskets.
Yes, and they symbolized sacred marriage. Not the legal binding contract, but the connection, like yes. in the great rite, between right. the god and the goddess.
Yep.
Not the legal ceremony.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Many people took nature walks for spiritual connection and like downloads.
Okay.
Hello.
That's like our version of like taking a stupid walk for my stupid mental health.
That's how you would see it.
That's how they say it on TikTok.
Also it's how like you the would say
version
it.
Of that is how
I think
say
you
it.
Love a walk once you're on it.
I do.
I think it's as long as it's not like really hilly or something. But true. Like if like you're not going to climb something.
True.
Yeah. But it's getting you to the walk. Yeah. That's hard. That's a side note. But I don't know. I love a walk. Gavin, my son, yeah. likes to go on walks all the time. I'm like, oh, you going on a hot girl walk? Like, you can call it that instead of your stupid walk or your stupid mental health.
Exactly.
Okay. What I would like to say is that Native American tribes did vision quests.
Yes.
This is a closed practice.
Yes.
Now, you cannot do vision quests the way Native Americans did. Like, you can't do it that way. You okay. can't go like... There's all kinds of stuff about their vision quest. You can find how they did it and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is closed. If yes. you are not of that culture or specifically invited, you do not do that one.
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, I think you can go and have them guide you on that, but you have to compensate them and be respectful.
Yes. You're not going to go on your own vision quest no. as a white person.
Please don't.
And then do your totem animals.
God, no.
You're not doing that.
No.
But before you get like disappointed...
Yep.
What you can do is go for a nature walk
mm-hmm.
and notice the animals and plants that stand out to you and look up the symbolism of them. That's something that is in all cultures.
Yes.
You can do that. You just can't go on a vision quest.
No, it's the totem that is closed. It's not the animal that's closed. It's the totem.
It's doing it that way. That's right. their traditions. Again, if you're invited, if you... Right. I have done things mm-hmm. where I have paid... Mm-hmm. done amazing drum circles and then gone on like very mini mm-hmm. like the vision quests were like
right
the mm-hmm. whole thing yeah. yeah like I've gone on like the let's right. bring the white girl version but you can't just do that and then represent it
no
you have to do it based in your culture, but listen, your culture did it too.
Exactly.
Okay, so right. I thought I'd tell you a few animal meanings if you saw them.
Okay.
Real quick before we wrap up, if you spot a bunch of ants, the meaning is a prodigious worker who may be telling you to be more industrious in order to solve your problem.
Okay.
I like that. If you saw a cat, night creature who cautiously and silently, with a seeming disregard for other creatures, acts like a cat to solve your difficulties. A little detachment never hurts.
A literal black cat crossed my path last night, and I was like, yeah.
Detach. I'm not usually telling you to detach, but
no.
actually...
No.
I can actually think of a place that I did yesterday tell you to be more detached. So
yes,
I
you
bet
did.
That was why. Okay. If you saw a coyote, archetype trickster, So canines are clever and sly and possess a wonderful sense of humor. To solve your problem, you should adopt a coyote's sense of humor and be clever and resourceful.
Okay.
Dog is about loyalty. Mm-hmm. An owl is wisdom. So you need to use your brain and you need to go seek some ancient wisdom to solve your problem.
Correct.
So I just want you to picture that you're going on this walk with, like, here's some things I want to solve, or here's some intentions I have for this new season. And then you were paying attention to the animals and plants you saw and deemed, like, going, oh, that's the message. I need to hold on to that.
Yep.
You weren't just being like, a wolf is in my totem. Like, that's closed.
Yep.
But the look at what you can do. Exactly. So it seems so easy to me to not culturally appropriate is my point.
It is easy. Yeah.
Okay. So do all those things, however you want to do them. Listen, if you are like me and at this time of year you can't wait to get, like, the grill going and sit outside on the deck and eat from, like, cook the food over a literal fire, which is what a grill is.
Right.
That's this stuff. That's your DNA. It's like their ancestral roots. They're there.
Yeah. I want to get out and, like, clear up my garden and get my hostas all ready to go and stuff. I
can't wait to plant the garden and to get the plants looking good and
be out there.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. To go for a walk around it.
Yeah.
See what I spot for a message.
Exactly.
What kind of birds are coming to my bird feeder.
Yeah.
It's all very exciting.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So I think we should go get some coffee and reflect on all the tangents and encourage everyone around us to light a Beltane fire.
And watch alone.
And watch alone.
Hey everyone, Heather and I have an ask for you. If you love this episode or if you love the IGG, can you do us a favor? We need you to go onto whatever platform you listen on and download, subscribe, like, love, whatever it's asking you to do. Can you go do those things for us on the platforms that you listen on? It would mean so much to us.
Thanks for listening to our episode. For a way to get in touch with us, please visit our website, intuitivegirlsguide.com. We love hearing your feedback on our episodes.